Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And I am Rich McFadden, once again with you from Radio America, along with Jim Garrity from National Review, for your Tuesday version of the Three Martini Lunch. And got a couple of doozies sitting there today. As a matter of fact, so good, Jim, that we had two good martinis, and we had to take a vote to see which one to go with. I wanted to go with the fact that Hillary Clinton's bad week is showing Trump's numbers coming up a little bit. But it looks like we got outvoted by our intern helpers here, and they're 21 and 22 years old, and they wanted to go with the Pokemon Go story.
Rich, we are young and hip.
That's right.
We know what the kids are up to.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let me tell you something. When people walk up to me, that's the first thing they say is, you are hip, Rich McFadden.
So it's interesting. I a couple months ago, I had heard about this game that I believe was being done by Google. And it was a similar kind of what they call enhanced reality game, where you can go around and you visited various landmarks. You know, could claim it for one side or the other. It was basically capture the flag, but it was all around the world.
Sure.
Based on Google. I had never heard of it. And I'm kind of, you know, as I said to my friend who was part of the development team, wow, how have I not heard about this game? Aren't you guys doing this for publicity? And he kind of looked at me as if I said, why do you not have stone tablets reporting this, what you're doing there? Because he's like, no, we're Google. We don't need publicity. It was this very strange, you know, but it sounds like Pokemon. This Japanese game about capturing critters and making them fight that's been around for a couple of decades.
Oh, yeah.
Caused epileptic seizures in kids in Japan about, you know, back in the late 90s.
That.
If you have children, you have their cards all over your house and they never pick them up off the floor like they're supposed to.
I do.
So they came up with a version of this for your smartphones where you go around and you find them at various points around you or in your on your street or in your yard or stuff like that. And I guess you can catch them. And because of the way the game is designed, they just appear in random places. Over the weekend, Rich, apparently this took over all of American society.
It is the biggest thing. My son wants to get his iPhone early just so he can play this game. He's going into junior high school, and I've said, nope, you'll have to wait. But all of my friends are playing it, Dad.
So Pokemon Go has figured out how to stimulate the American economy whenever this. So our friend Larry O'Connor, writing over at Hot Air, makes kind of an interesting point. Do you remember, you know, Michelle Obama's Let's Move program?
Yes.
It was designed to get kids up off the couch and do exercises and, you know, making viral videos that they found. It really didn't do that much. It's not surprising. It may have had the best of intentions, but kids are not going to change their behavior. Well, and Larry O'Connor's point, which I think is a valid one, is that, hey, you know why people are getting up, kids are getting up off the couch and running around trying to catch these little Pokemon? Because it's something to do. It's fun. It's a game. So the free market has succeeded where the heavy lecturing nanny state hand of government has failed. That's kind of an interesting observation that,
good,
you know,
for him.
Now, admittedly, I also have heard this morning they've asked the, what some will see as a sign of the collapse of Western civilization, the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. has asked people to stop trying to catch Pokemon in it.
Yeah, that's one of the things I heard this morning is that a lot of the clues are being left at a lot of the memorials and the Park Service had to come out and say, listen, this is a place for remembering history and remembering people, not for collecting your Pokemon clues. So
I was very intrigued to see, apparently this was a tweet put out by the official Twitter account of the U.S. Marines. Pikachu has popped up on a firing line behind the troops. Open fire. Get that little bugger as far as I'm concerned. But no, Pikachu is apparently one of the good ones. You're not supposed to shoot him up with rounds. We salute you, Pokemon Go, for getting America's kids up off the couch, getting some exercise and walking around their neighborhoods. Hopefully not too many kids walking to traffic. And, you know, once again, the nanny state is no longer needed and we don't need the
soon
first
we'll
lady
see people
to
walking around the mall in D.C. with virtual reality glasses on, bumping into everybody, not knowing what's going on.
Yeah. What did it take kids to get out? Screens.
Yeah, exactly.
Screens and video games. That's what it took to get Americans to get exercise.
So in our second good martini of the day, which we'll just hit briefly, it looks like Trump's coming up, getting a little bump in the numbers.
It's one of those things where you and I had talked last week about the Hillary news and how she seemed to be getting away with it. It's one poll. We you know there's more to come, but this one from NBC News this morning kind of indicates that, you know, maybe Hillary Clinton's only up 3. Other ones had her with a slightly larger poll. Maybe this did hurt her. The bad news is this would end up being that basically he's still down 3, and 44 is not the best level to be at, obviously.
All right, so let's move on over to our bad martini today, and it looks like James Clapper really doesn't see a problem with Hillary seeing classified information.
Yeah. This is the James Clapper who, back during when he was under oath before the Congress and was talking about NSA programs, said we're not doing domestic surveillance when he meant to say we are doing domestic surveillance. So he only missed it by one word, and I've always had a kind of a skeptical eye upon him since then. But yeah, so Paul Ryan makes this formal request of like, look, in light of what we now know about her extremely careless treatment of classified information, can we restrict Hillary's access to this? And I believe when the nominees become the official nominees of their party, they begin to get intelligence briefings. It's kind of tradition going back several...
Thank you. I was sitting there thinking to myself, and I was screaming out, why would she have access to any classified information? So... What you're saying is once they become the candidate.
You don't want the newly elected president to start from square one. You want them to be getting up to speed on the kind of the intelligence and national security state of the world in those final months of the campaign.
Wow. So every person that runs for and loses the presidential election has all of this inside information. Classified information.
A kind of a lesser skimmed version of the presidential daily briefing. And obviously there have been concerns among some in the intelligence community that, hey, if we tell this to Trump, how do we know he's not going to tweet it out that morning? And then the sexy side is that, you know, if you give it to Hillary Clinton, I hope she doesn't get it in email form because she'll end up accidentally hit reply all or forward all. And next thing you know, everybody in the world will have access to it.
My favorite meme last week was the Hillary sitting there with her BlackBerry with the dark glasses on. You know that famous picture now.
Yeah.
Saying, launch codes now available on iTunes.
But you got to pay the price.
You got to pay the price. It's 99 cents and you can get the launch codes.
There you go.
Absolutely. All right. And then on to our last and crazy martini of the day, Representative Corrine Brown of Florida, Democrat of Florida, I can't even do it justice. This is what she said.
These are the same agents that was not able to do a thorough investigation of the agent, and we ended up with 50 people dead.
Now, she was under investigation for 24 counts of fraud and claims that if the Department of Justice were investigating the Orlando shooter instead of her, these people would still be alive.
Yeah, this is, you know, after she was accused of using a college scholarship fund as a personal slush fund. Apparently, Congresswoman Brown is under the impression, like, I suppose if you watch The X-Files, you might have thought the FBI consisted of three guys. No, actually, the FBI has lots and lots of people. The Department of Justice has lots and lots of people. And it doesn't mean they stop doing counterterrorism if they investigate fraud on the part of members of Congress. But victims of Orlando are a victim. She's a victim. It's all terrible.
Everybody's a victim.
The other great comment she had was two black men were needlessly gunned down by police. Five Dallas police officers were slain by a demented man. And on Friday, I had to appear in a federal court. They're all like each other, aren't they, Rich?
Yeah.
You know? They've all suffered.
Everybody's a victim nowadays. Nobody takes responsibility for everything, anything, and everybody's a victim. It's unbelievable.
And nobody gets it worse than those poor members of Congress.
Yeah. I know. Well, the police chief from Dallas told the members of Congress to sit down and shut up and do their job. You know what? Give it to them. Let them know it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I guess in her case, it's, you know, take the bribes in a more effective manner. So.
All right. Well, there's our three martinis for today. That's Tuesday's martinis. Jim Garrity here from the National Review, and I'm Rich McFadden with the Radio America Network, and we'll see you tomorrow for your three martini lunch.